This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the 24 Hours to Hell and Back After Show. Tonight, we're breaking down the renovation of the restaurant Catfish Cabin in Memphis, Tennessee. There's a lot of drama in this one. Finally, for that and more, stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This is like straight 50s diner, which is so appropriate for like every episode of this show.
I agree. And this like isn't fitting in with our hell like sort of thing, but it like fits perfectly for this episode.
Absolutely.
Literally because one of the guys during the renovation used a line from this song.
It's exactly what I feel like every single time the employees are told to call their families, you're not going home tonight. Like, oh, really? Okay, great.
I know. I feel like at that point I'd be like, I'm just a server here. I don't know if I, like, actually want to stay for 24 hours. So kudos to them for actually staying. Welcome back to another episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back. Tonight we're talking about Catfish Cabin in Memphis, Tennessee. It's, like, sort of looked like good old-fashioned, like, soul food. They had, like, mac and cheese,
Southern. Right?
Catfish, lots of catfish. We'll get to that. But before we dive into the problems with it, some of the renovations, and sort of afterwards with their dinner service. And also, we have a really fun segment. We'll look back over some of the Yelp reviews to see if they're keeping up with their renovation. Before we dive into all of that, I am here with my wonderful co-host. This is Mike Thieling.
What's up, guys? Excited to be back in the dregs of some restaurant with you as we rebirth it.
Yeah, I'm always excited for that. And I am Zia Anderson. Let's just jump right in. So before we got into all of this, it seems like there was like a really crazy power dynamic going on between Rachel and Geraldine.
This is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Rachel was the owner's or was is the owner's is the owner's daughter. And she actually wants to be there and wants to take over. But he seemed to be backing Geraldine, who's a manager, who was not doing a great job.
I feel like you see this a lot of times, especially with, call it family-owned businesses, where you have dad owning the restaurant. And we even heard a bunch of the servers and people say, you know, I've been working here since when Rachel was crawling, right? So really tiny kid. And there's a legacy going on there. And the owner doesn't want to disrespect or disrupt that legacy. And a lot of times people in life, in business ownership, just get complacent. So it seems like Charles is just complacent. Rachel, big time to her credit, wants to step up, which is awesome, wants to take over and, you know, make more out of the restaurant because she sees the possibility of where it could go. But again, the complacency and dad siding with Geraldine is holding her back.
Which is frustrating because it had her listed as a manager. So Rachel was a manager and also Geraldine was a general manager. So it's like you have two managers, which is not uncommon at a restaurant. You can't have one manager for all the hours. They'd be working like 100 hours a week. As it is, they probably work 60 to 70. But it really seemed like Rachel took so much of a back seat. Which I find interesting because she was actually trying to make positive changes and Geraldine was just fighting her every step of the way.
I think she was forced into the back seat.
Yeah.
I think she was forced in. And you can kind of sympathize with Charles, right? Because you don't necessarily want to be giving favorites right away to your kids because that's a potential really easy way to lose a bunch of staff. Like, okay, now your kid is old enough. Now this is my boss now, even though I've been working here for 20 years. Yeah. I totally get it. But if she has great ideas, and we talk about it right now, there's a better way to go about it than being really passive like he's doing.
Well, the thing is if they're clashing, you can sit down and talk it out and be like, okay, well, why don't you like this idea?
Right.
And if she's also a shared manager, she should be able to put rules in place and put operations in place. And I mean, we saw, this was the biggest thing to me, is you see Geraldine taking money from the cash register.
Yeah.
And putting it in her purse.
Yeah, you know.
She claimed she wasn't stealing.
I don't think she was. Gut instinct, gut feeling, I think they are just so mismanaged and unorganized that this is just the way it goes. At the end of the shift, she stuffs the money in, she goes to the bank and she deposits it. Maybe there was some...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thievery, but there's no evidence, so I don't want to toss that around on her, and I don't think we have to label it as that when just unorganized business operations,
which it easily could have
thing.
Been.
Yeah,
but there have been times when, but still, that's unacceptable. You can't not keep track of the money. Like, yeah. I've done that at businesses before, and you have deposit slips, and you have to count exactly how much came in, what it came in from, credit cards, cash, you know, the various different credit cards, you tally it all up. Then you take it to the bank, and you have a deposit slip, and you get it, and you keep a certain amount in the drawer that always stays in there, whatever it is, you know, $5,800.
Well, as an owner, I can't imagine not wanting to know exact counts of money coming in, money coming out, especially if your business is failing. I mean, I feel like, Zia, once again, right off the bat, we could tell this restaurant how to succeed a little bit better without Gordon even coming in.
Right.
Communication.
Yes.
Delineate jobs between the two managers. Who's actually responsible for what? And what are you held accountable for? And what are the things you need to hit? Like, for instance, all the money has to be accounted for. We need an accounting spreadsheet or whatever for it. And that's just the way it's done.
Yes.
And then two, clean up.
Clean up, please. Oh, my God. Which leads us to our next topic of before the renovations. That kitchen.
Yeah.
I think that this might possibly be the worst one I've ever seen.
This is definitely, if not, it's way up there.
I mean, they were
literally
shoveling piles of dirt and grime and old food under the fryers.
Well, imagine,
I mean, with a shovel.
They didn't even know about that before the renovations.
No.
Right? They didn't even see that when they went into the kitchen.
That was just when they were
after the renovations. Oh, then we see them shoveling this stuff. So that's what's always so scary about these dives, is when you go in and you see what's there, it's what you don't see that's really taking a toll on the whole restaurant, and it makes it even more and more disgusting.
Yeah.
And their walk-in surprise is a wreck as well.
Of course. Rotten food. I mean, nothing was labeled, nothing had covers. And the chef, Rosie, to her credit, didn't lie or try to make excuses.
She just said, "I don't know," and stop asking me.
Yeah, she had an attitude.
Gotta love the honesty. Straight honesty.
But she was very honest. She was like, I don't know. I don't know what you want me to tell you. So, I mean, I give her props to that. She wasn't trying to, like, back up her bad habits or make any sort of excuses. And when he asked her, "When was the last time you cleaned this?" And I've seen this so many times in shows where they're like, "Last week." Like, this was
come on, man. This hasn't been cleaned for a decade.
Yes, obviously.
This is actually, when they go in the walk-in, we saw, of course, there's spoiled meat. Of course, there's spoiled oysters or clams or whatever that was. So much catfish. And what I was going to ask you, from your experience, so many times we see in these shows that they just crazy over order. Is that to save money? Why, do they not have a good system for keeping track of how much they're selling? Why is there so much over ordering in restaurants?
I feel like there could be a number of reasons for that. It's always, always, always better to run out of something occasionally than it is to have too much of a product. Because then you're just wasting food.
Right.
And I think what they're doing is they're not keeping track of what's selling and what's not selling. They're just ordering stuff all haphazard and, use a Hawaiian word, kapakahi, that they're just like, this is immediately what my brain wants to say.
Can you define that for our listeners? Because I totally know what you're talking about.
Just all over the place. Okay. Just like chaos. There's like no rhyme or reason for it. So they like
Zia just got fancy on us here. 24 hours to hell and back.
That's the first word that always pops.
Kapakahina? What?
Kapakahi. It's just the first word that pops into my head. For some reason, my brain goes the Hawaiian word before the English word. I don't know why.
Why is it a wine word?
Hawaiian.
I'm sorry. I thought you said wine. That was what made it even extra confusing for me. Hawaiian. I love it. What's the crazy Hawaiian fish that's got 8,000 letters?
Oh, the humuhumu nukunuku apua. That's our sea fish.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You're not allowed to eat those, though.
So they can't sell
them in this restaurant.
No.
So there's just no rhyme or reason to ordering. So they're just ordering a bunch. They don't know what's selling, what they need to order more of, what they need to order less of. And the big thing with that, too, is that maybe they're saving money when they bulk order things. But in the long run, they're losing money because they're just throwing stuff away.
Right. And I think added to all that, because that makes a ton of sense, I think they're just so unorganized that they forget about stuff.
Yes.
So a lot of times, I think it's a double-edged sword. It looks terrible for them when Gordon finds this stuff. But I also think they probably haven't opened that box of catfish for 6 months. They're not serving it at all. They forgot it's even there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's just wasted money.
Well, and also it's just rotten food and cross-contamination in your fridge. And you don't want that either.
Yeah.
It's like terrible. And I mean, you really need to be dating everything and getting rid of the things that are like, I think you get like 1 or 2 days mm-hmm. before you have to just throw stuff out.
Yeah.
You can't, like, I wouldn't do that in my own fridge.
Right.
I won't use stuff that's gone past like 2 or 3 days. Why would you do that in a restaurant? Like, that's crazy.
You definitely can't serve it to other people.
No.
So we've got tumultuous relationships right off the bat. A gross kitchen. Ugh. You know, nothing surprising because we've all watched the show before. We knew this wasn't going to be clean.
Of course
one
not.
Episode, it's going to be clean. Like, do you remember
Kitchen
way back?
Nightmares? The one woman.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Amy's Baking
woman.
Company.
Yes.
Amy's Baking
Spotless.
Company. Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for the 24
Dated,
hours
organized.
Of Amy's Baking Company. Yeah. And then, can we talk just the decor? Just the epitome, I think, of
just a chime in. Amy's Baking Company, I believe, is now closed.
Ooh.
She did make an appearance on AfterBuzz TV a couple of years ago. So go check out that interview if you want to hear all the
That's
updates
amazing.
On Amy's life. I believe it was called Back to Reality or something along those lines is the show's name.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Brianna, because now I have to go watch that because I was fascinated with her.
Amy's
so
Baking Company is always an episode worth watching. Back of Kitchen Nightmares. Oh, I'm going to watch that now, too. Yeah.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, she was. It was clean and organized. So you're always waiting for that to happen. But so far, it has not. And yes, no.
Not
the,
here.
The decor was not my favorite.
Bland, dated. To me,
yeah.
It seemed like very kitschy, almost stereotyped Southern
Very cheesy.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a swordfish on there or something like
yes,
that. Great.
There was
okay.
A fish on the wall.
He's nailed up to the wall. Fantastic.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
We started in a really bad place.
Yeah, they were not doing themselves any favors.
They're not. But y'all watching at home can do us some favors.
That was so good.
Right? Come
that was
on.
Mike. I love that. Okay.
Guys, we love you guys. We know you ride with us. We ride with you. We want to thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. But, of course, just like these restaurants are trying to salvage themselves up and grow bigger, we're always trying to go bigger. And so give us a subscribe on the YouTube. We've got lots of different channels covering all sorts of different genres of TV shows that you guys love to watch and we love to watch as well. So hit us with a subscribe. We're on iTunes. Go ahead and leave us a comment. Give us a rating over there. Any of the comments, we'd like to shout you guys out on air. I love being here and doing AfterBuzz because my wife will not watch reality TV with me. So I need someone to talk to. I need you guys to talk to because otherwise it just stays inside and explodes. So thanks so much for helping us and supporting us and doing what we love to do.
Very well said, Mike. We do really, really love it. And it's amazing to be able to just get it all out because especially, I mean, just in any show that you're passionate about and you're, it's hard to watch it. I have to pause shows sometimes when I'm watching it to yell about whatever I'm watching. To just be like, oh my God, because you have to get it out.
I mean, normally I'm at home yelling at my dog and now I get to come here and yell at you.
Great. And we get to yell at everybody watching and just be like, oh my, can you believe that?
Can you believe it?
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Can you believe those
these restaurants are terrible.
I know they're so bad. But during this renovation, was actually the first time we saw a little bit of pushback, but here we got to see a little bit of drama between Charles and Gordon.
I was ready.
I was too.
When Gordon tells his staff to stop, I'm like, yup, here we go. He's like, stop working. And you could see, I feel really bad in all these situations, because there have been several episodes over the years of all of his shows where you have somebody like the daughter, who really wants this restaurant to work. She wants Gordon to be there, and a stubborn dad or a stubborn owner or something like that. And I feel bad for her because she, you could tell immediately Rachel was like, "Dad, stop, stop. We need Gordon's help."
Seriously. Right?
That's why I don't understand, besides a TV perspective, and it's awesome to have drama. If I'm the owner, I've applied to the show, Gordon comes, I'm like, thank you.
Yes.
Whatever you want, man. Yep,
tell me
it's
what
terrible.
We need to do.
Nope, yell at me, and I will do anything in my power to make it better.
Well, some people just have such a big ego that they can't handle. I mean, for the last episode, did you watch the last episode?
I did not.
Okay. So I won't ruin
Thanks
it for you.
Thanks for calling
you.
Me out on that.
I just didn't want to ruin it for
I
you.
I was out.
There was, no, I understand. Like, when you're busy, you're busy. Look. So when you go back and watch it, you're going to have to let me know what you think about that owner. But it just happens sometimes where they just don't like being called out by another man sometimes.
That's true, too. Yeah,
it's
that's just, fair.
It's threatening to them. It's threatening to their ego. And this, you know, Charles was a older gentleman. He's been through a lot of life. He's seen a lot of life. He's probably pretty set in his ways.
He seemed a little lackadaisical in general.
Yeah.
About their, I mean, look, we're rational. If I went into my restaurant's kitchen and I saw the crud underneath that fryer, first of all, by the way, sorry, not first of all,
the
can we discuss, I wasn't even going to say the
okay.
cockroaches. Does it not gross everybody else out to their core when Gordon just takes his hand
oh.
and he's like, oh, here's grease. And he just gets like a snowball of grease in his bare hand. I can't handle it when he does that.
He also touches a lot of rotten raw meat with
his
hands.
He loves to do that.
You were telling him before
that. But that does show. So it grosses me out when he grabs the stuff that's spoiled, like
yes.
the raw fish that's just completely off and soured. That grosses me out. But then I love it inside my soul when he shoves it in someone's face and makes them smell it. Smell this. And he goes around to everybody. And you just see the poor line cooks are like, oh my God, it's my turn. I have to smell it. Yep. It's sour. We get it. I love that so much.
I mean, they need to know how bad the meat is. Come on.
That, when Gordon shoves shoves spoiled food in people's faces, when he yells at people, and then his constant migraine are my favorite things about Gordon.
Oh, when he's always
Every
like...
time he says something, he's so pained to say it. He's like, Zia, what are we going to do? Like, and he's just so hard. I feel for that man. His emotions are amazing.
He doesn't understand why people let their... I mean, he has countless flawless restaurants where, I mean, even if they... I know he's failed a bunch, but at least his kitchen has always been clean.
There's 800 Michelin stars or whatever he has.
I'm
yeah.
sure. Yeah, he's probably got 1,000 at this point. no, but... And during the renovation, too, just taking it back to cleanliness, again, the cockroaches. There was an infestation.
The cockroaches
they were the little ones.
Are... It's unacceptable. Beyond
oh,
unacceptable. If you're not
wow.
cleaning weekly... You're being lazy, but once you get into infestations and things like that, that, again, health code violations like crazy. Where are those people inspecting these restaurants?
I want to know what their health rating was before this. Like, I really, really do.
There's no way it should legally be allowed to operate with this kind. It doesn't take but 2 seconds to find this stuff that's wrong, and you're going to get shut down immediately.
Yes. And there were fire hazards because of that pile of goop and grease
oh,
that
yeah.
he's saying that it can go up in flames and it will literally burn the entire restaurant
oh,
down.
Yeah.
He's like, you're running the risk of killing people, which is to let it get to that point. But seriously,
Geraldine
seeing those
said, we'll lose our jobs.
Yeah.
Yep. You'll lose your jobs.
Yeah, might also
Maybe
kill
your
some
life.
Folks
yeah.
or die. Yeah. Seriously, it's crazy town. But they also redid not just the back, which... I know you mentioned this before, and I actually have to agree with you, that even after the renovations, I mean, the equipment was beautiful. The equipment looked great.
It's brand new.
It was brand new,
okay, yeah.
obviously, but you were 100% right. Looking at the wall, it didn't look completely clean.
The walls didn't, and the floor didn't as
no.
well. I was actually really disappointed in this episode, more so than any of the other ones that I've seen, even in all of Gordon's shows. This kitchen in the after... didn't look really clean to me.
It didn't.
A lot of the walls, like we said, and especially the floors, we even rewound it a couple times and looked at it. The floor still looked brown, covered in gunk, covered in stuff. Now, granted, the team had to shovel. What did we actually wrote? They shoveled layers of crap
mountains,
out of there.
Mountains of crap under
mountains
the fryers.
Mountains of crap from under the fryers. That's insane.
Yeah, it was
that
really
that
bad.
Was allowed to build up. I'm sure it was only it had been cleaned a couple weeks ago. But it just they're doing a lot of business, right? But the floor looked terrible. The walls still looked terrible. And yeah, the appliances were great, but they're brand new. I'm sure they're going to crap those out right away. So I am very, very disappointed.
Yeah, I was too. And I will give them this, though. When the floors were dirty, it might have been during service. It might have been after service that they were showing those shots. Because I don't know, you know, they edit so much.
Could be.
So the only thing I'm thinking of is maybe, I will say this, especially during our busy times, the floor gets, I mean, it gets cleaned every day, but the floor does get a lot of stuff
sure,
on it.
Sure, but not the walls.
Not the walls.
You're talking about the sides of some of the appliances, well, the shelves and things like that. That stuff,
directly after the renovation.
Yeah.
And also, I know you said this, the front of house, I know you weren't crazy about. I thought that it definitely was an improvement upon what it was before, because it was, like you said, it was very kitschy. It was very
the bar's really
cheesy.
Low, guys.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
It had the nice wood paneling, though, that they got to keep. They hung a boat from the ceiling. Like, it helped. I just think that it had low ceilings and it was kind of a dingy space to begin with. It was kind of like, I think I've used this term before, a little bit like polishing a turd.
You know,
like it's hard to make it.
When Gordon comes into a restaurant, I expect a 180-degree turnaround of what it looks like. I do. Other restaurants we've seen, even in this season, they're tearing out booths. They're bringing in brand new hardware, chairs, everything, and it really looks different. They're giving it a more modern aesthetic. This, I felt, yes, they lightened it up a little bit. Great, there's a boat screwed to the roof or whatever
they did
ceiling.
They tear out the booths,
okay.
Though.
They teared out some booths. It wasn't enough to me to where if I was a patron and I was going back, I would think, whoa, this was redone. How amazing. To me, it looked kind of the same.
It did look very similar. And I think a lot of that had to do with the wood paneling.
Sure.
Because there was the wood paneling before and there was the wood paneling after. Because that's, I mean, maybe that's too big of a job. I always feel so bad for the design team when they go in there because they always look just like,
I don't think so, though. I don't think so, because you know they've been scoping these restaurants out for a while.
So they already have a plan in their head.
They have. Oh, absolutely.
That makes
sense.
You
can't actually execute this stuff in hours. They're not going to get materials and stuff like that.
The amount of work that needs to be done.
Oh, it's a ton of work.
To do it. They're always just like, oh, God.
Look at what we saw a couple episodes ago. They put in a whole train car station ticket thing.
And that was really cool.
There's been huge installations up and not just a boat screwed to the ceiling. I just thought this was disappointing. They usually do a lot more. The transformation is usually more amazing and more obvious. And this, for me, from front of the house to the back of the house, is just kind of blah.
I definitely agree that it was not as much as previous episodes, for sure. I thought that it looked better, but it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't a full 180,
right,
like, turnaround where you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Although the staff certainly seemed to like it.
Good. That's good.
You're like, good
I mean,
for them.
I think positive for them. I'll tell you somebody who did not like it.
Geraldine. Was it Geraldine?
Because she didn't get to see it.
Yeah, she got, was it, did she got let go before the renovations.
Kind of during.
It was during.
So that
they were doing
to
everything.
Me is really the pivotal moment of this episode.
Big time.
When finally Gordon sits Charles and Rachel down and says, what's actually the problem? And Rachel, good on her, speaks up, says, I can't do stuff. I'm not empowered, which is a big thing in a lot of Gordon's shows. People who are in positions theoretically of power, but they don't feel empowered to make decisions and do stuff on their own, usually because of owners. And it's even worse when it's your dad.
Yeah.
So the main problem is Geraldine and that legacy and Charles not having his daughters back.
Yes. And that's a huge thing because he's the owner and ultimately the power lies with him. So if he's letting Geraldine get away with these bad practices, and I will say this, the staff seem to really love Rachel and seem to support her and stand behind her. So I don't think there was one woman shaking her head when she said that she had let Geraldine go. One woman. But even after that, everybody clapped and everybody cheered. They seemed like it was a good move. So it's just interesting that the staff sees it and Rachel sees it, but Charles doesn't see it.
That's good. That would tell you that in private one-on-ones, when Rachel is with different people, they respect her. They know she has good ideas and they know she has their best intentions in mind, because that's a place that owners can get into trouble when it's their best intentions. But you got to have your staff's best intentions in mind for what you're doing, because they're making you the money. They're running the restaurant for you. So you could tell Rachel cares about them. And I think that's where the support comes from. They care back for her.
Well, and that's the thing. I've had so many managers, and definitely the ones that you obviously like the most and respect the most are the ones that are looking out for you. Because like you said, you're making them the money. You're the one doing the actual work.
Right.
So whatever makes it easier for you to do that or to facilitate things, there's nothing more frustrating than having a manager that makes decisions that makes work more difficult.
Sure.
And you're like, why are we doing this? This is harder for me.
Yeah. Like, implement some processes that don't make sense just to show that they're doing something.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, why?
Please don't do that.
You're just making this more difficult.
And to be fair, and I think some kudos and credit to her, I thought Geraldine left very dignified.
She did.
Didn't really put up anything. I think she kind of knew the time had come and hopefully she finds something better for herself as well. But there was no real pushback. It's just kind of, okay.
She understood.
It makes sense.
And you know what? Maybe also she lost some of her passion and lost some of
her drive.
Yeah, she was just kind of, she'd grown complacent.
And that's okay.
And that's fine. And sometimes it's good that you need to move on and get to another place that will kind of give that spark back to you.
Right.
If you can't get it in the place that you're at, maybe you need to try to find somewhere else.
Absolutely.
So hopefully she does find something else, gets a little bit of that passion back and can, you know, be a good manager again.
Yeah.
But Rosie, so she's the head chef.
Right.
And it seemed like she was having a pretty fun time during the renovations cooking with Gordon.
Well, surprise, surprise, we pared down the menu to not many items. Great. And of course what I loved about the new menu was what a lot of restaurants should do, if just like we say every week what restaurants can do. If you guys are restaurateurs out there and
we're
entrepreneurs,
we're
totally the experts from behind this desk. But going back to basics, this is a Memphis restaurant, 10IC, let's go. Catfish, mac and cheese.
Fried chicken.
Mm. Let's get soul food, stuff that's just good, that's going to make people want to come back. When you're aching for it's comfort food.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's comfort food. And that's got to be done with love.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Come on.
Yes, you're right.
Gravy, sausage gravy.
Oh, my God. And that menu, I know I say this every week also, but that menu made me so hungry.
It
seriously
looks good.
Those biscuits, I want them.
Gordon can cook. He should take that somewhere. Maybe a career. Yeah. It's good. And I was happy that they went back to that, because that's what you got to do. When you're rebuilding and you're rebranding, start with what you should know the best.
Yes.
And then get known for that, right? This place wants to be known, I would think, for the place to go get catfish.
Or mac and cheese.
Well,
whatever
it's in your name, right? It's
bomb.
In your name.
You're
so
right.
Base catfish has got to be amazing. Everybody should be getting catfish and something.
Yes.
When they come there. And then get the rest of that home cooking, soul food, comfort food really solid. And then do some new things and experiment.
Well, and that's the thing. And I've also mentioned this before. If you're going to do new things, don't just throw a whole bunch of new things on the menu all of a sudden and be like, oh, now we have like 30 items.
Right.
You start off with specials. You try specials out. And if the specials are successful and people like them, maybe you add one of those to the menu at a time and you slowly can start to sort of build your menu. But still, you should keep it at a reasonable place, because there's no point in having that many things. If you do a certain number of things and do them really, really well, people will want to go there for those things, as opposed to going to a restaurant that just has a bunch of stuff that's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And then I think the key to that moving forward for a restaurant like this, who has this kind of over-ordering problem, is to order stuff that if it doesn't sell, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if it doesn't sell, it can be easily repurposed into something else.
Oh, no, that's...
Right? That should be a tactic in restaurant ordering.
And I think that it was Alice that brought this on when she came on our second show with us, that you design the menu in a way that you use ingredients in more than one dish.
Sure.
So you have the same... So you order a bunch of something, but you're not just using it in one dish, you're using it in other dishes as well. That way, if it's not getting used in one dish a whole bunch that night, you're still using it in something else and you're not wasting it.
Exactly.
And that makes so much sense.
And that makes Gordon happy.
And that makes Gordon happy, exactly.
Gordon would not yell at you.
Yes. And it seemed like Rosie was actually doing really well in the kitchen.
Yep.
It seemed like she knew what she was doing. She just was kind of being, again, she was being stopped from reaching her full potential as well. So it was nice to see her cooking and sort of getting that, having fun in the kitchen again.
It is good. She does need to take some responsibility in general,
though.
She's
got to
take with cleaning, with ordering and all that kind of stuff. You know, it goes back to the owner, though. It's that complacency. So I think she was in that rut of complacency. Now we're starting over. She really needs to kick it up a notch in keeping her staff on top of being clean, the ordering, the proper food, and things like that. So,
well, and that's the thing, too, with especially a busy restaurant. Afterwards, you need to stay quite a bit longer to really, yeah. I mean, you got to stay and you got to scrub everything down. You have to clean everything. And it is a lot of work. A lot of restaurants, I know we do this, we hire a cleaning crew that comes in and just scrubs everything from top to bottom in the kitchen and then in the front. And then obviously there's part side work for servers to do that or certain other cleaning things. And then the kitchen has to do. But it's just everybody plays their part in doing it. And it helps having a cleaning crew because they come in. And I mean, literally in our restaurant, they spray like soap down the floors and scrub them and squeegee everything out. And I mean, and then spray like there's a hose. They're hosing everything off. Like that's the big thing. And they did say that Gordon had said at the end of this that they had gotten rid of the cockroaches. Do you think that they actually did? Because can you get rid of a cockroach infestation in 24 hours? I didn't see an exterminator.
I'm not an exterminator, but without one, I don't see how you could.
Like,
I don't see how you could get rid of them. I mean, look, I lived in Manhattan. The truth about Manhattan is that every single building in Manhattan is infected with cockroaches. It just is. They're everywhere, okay? And the way you know that is when construction happens, they tear a building down, they go everywhere. And so they're fine because they've been displaced. Normally, as long as you don't have any holes in your walls or anything like that, they stay in the walls. You never, ever see them, right? But they're there.
Uh-huh.
Point being, if any end up in your house because of a pipe or whatever, and you could set up traps and you can kill them, dude, the rest are still in the walls. You did not get all of them out, for sure.
Yeah.
So I don't buy that they're out of this restaurant. Not if there was an infestation like that.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. It looked like a rug of cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think that they're still there. I don't think 24 hours is enough time.
Sometimes we see with Gordon, there's a belly up cockroach, and that's gross. These guys were well fed and healthy and having a great time running around the kitchen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, friends. Light.
No. So that already skeeved me out a little bit with that. I was like, oh, are they really? But they went into the dinner service.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless.
Surprise! Everybody there from the day before came back.
I know. I love how Gordon's always like, I have one question or one favor to ask of you that you come back the next day.
Will you come back tomorrow
like
in 24 hours?
Like anyone's going to say no.
Yeah, somebody will one time. That'll be funny.
They'll be like, absolutely not.
I'm shocked. No.
I'm waiting for that day. Right. So, of course, everybody came back. They're lined up outside. Dinner served. And I feel like this is a problem. This has happened on almost every single episode.
Yeah.
The chicken is raw. They cannot seem to get it together to cook chicken properly.
If you believe...
And again, fried chicken.
Yeah, if you believe all television cooking shows, chicken is really tough to cook.
Apparently.
It's not. they just got to get their times down. So, to be fair... New menu, they're nervous.
Equipment.
There's cameras everywhere, new equipment. It might not be up to temperature, blah, blah, blah. But to be fair, on the other side, that chicken was undercooked in the test run. So they should have known they needed some adjustments right off the bat. And it wasn't a little bit undercooked. Gordon said it was 4 or 5 minutes out. So they did not make a good adjustment on that. And that's very disappointing to have to send your food back a couple times.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
at least that one
diner.
We'll have
to send it back twice. Yeah, which is really unfortunate because... And that's another thing, chicken, and I've had people get upset at me about this too, when they're waiting for a chicken dish and they're like, oh, well, they got their food before me. And I'm like, well, they ordered scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
You got chicken.
That's another type
of
chicken.
Kind of. Yes. Baby chickens.
That logic is sound.
It is. We're just eating chicken pieces.
Right.
The chicken, you can't really rush it.
Right.
It has to be cooked for the amount of time that it has to be cooked. Otherwise, you're going to end up with raw chicken and you're going to end up killing someone.
Chicken tartare is not ever on the
menu.
Oh, no.
Have you ever seen that one meme that was going around a while back that, and I don't know if this was real or not, I really think it was a joke, but it was somebody posted a picture of literal almost raw chicken that was just seared on the outside and cut up and that said, I like my chicken medium rare. And I was like, oh, God.
It looks like chicken sushi.
Oh, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. Can you eat beef tartare?
Yeah.
You can. Mm-hmm. So you can eat raw beef.
Well, I mean, I guess technically you could eat raw chicken as well. Beef tartare is a little bit on the dangerous side. And that's actually a reason why you're kind of not supposed to get burgers cooked less than medium well, I want to say. Because with a burger, it's
ground.
It's ground. So you don't know where it's all coming from versus a steak. When it's seared on both sides, that's supposed to get the bacteria, right? And the inside is kind of safe. I don't know. I eat everything almost black and blue when I have steak and stuff, so I'm probably at risk.
Oh. Oh.
Everything you just said is factually accurate and very helpful, but the raw chicken.
I saw the meme. Thank you for finding that, by the way. That was amazingly quick thinking. Yeah, that's the meme, and it's just, oh, gosh.
I have had steak tartare, though, properly prepared as per Brie, and it's delicious.
Okay. So if it's so, I feel a little bit better, but you just have to trust or hope that the place that you get the steak tartare from is actually.
Not some place that Gordon has revamped. Yeah, stay away from that.
That's actually a place that does it like that. So interesting. Okay, maybe I'll give it a try one day.
Yeah.
But not undercooked chicken that they kept doing, unfortunately, during the dinner service. And it seemed like the kitchen, and I always give the kitchen a pass for this too, just because whenever they do these remodelings and they open the doors up, they flood the dining room and they're literally putting in
Tickets 30, are
everywhere. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, normally you really shouldn't do things that way. Normally you can't really do things that way.
It would never happen that way. No, you're never going to have 50 seating. Tables at once. Sure. No.
So I always give them a little bit of a pass getting weeded like that because it's chaotic. It's their first day with a new menu. It's their first day after renovations. Like, they've been working for 24 hours. That's the other thing you have to remember. Like, they're exhausted. So I always give them a pass for that. But they definitely became weeded and food was starting to take a long time.
Yeah.
At one point, but eventually they pulled it together. And this is where I love seeing the leadership from Rachel, which really shows that I believe she can do this, is that she, my favorite, she takes a minute, she goes into the office and she's crying and they call her and she's like, just a minute. And then she's like, okay. And then she comes out and she gets it together and she pulls the kitchen together and gives them like this amazing motivational speech and gets everybody back on track and is like, okay guys, let's, and like really jumps in. And that's when everything starts to run smoothly. Like, I was so impressed with her.
A lot of crying this episode.
A lot of crying. Yeah.
We had Florida, one of the servers, just crying like crazy in the background.
Well, and she was in the back rooms, crying because
very emotional.
Of being a part of everything that was happening. It was clear that she'd worked there for a long time.
Right.
She seemed like the sweetest lady.
Yeah.
And you see Rachel being like, I'm so sorry. And Flynn Florida's
like, a lot
like,
of crying. That's good. That's a solid emotion. But yeah. I agree. I like to take charge. Also, there was no kind of defensiveness or anything like that from any of the chefs. Let's get it back together and do it.
And they were great.
The staff, I lost her name, but the one server who came in where her table got flipped or whatever and it wasn't ready yet, same. Level-headed, stayed very cool, so work as a team.
And they were great, too, with customers. Another thing that I was really impressed by, they were like, you know, when they were speaking to the customers and food was taking a long time, they did the right thing. They're like, everything's made to order. It'll just be a few more minutes. Yeah. You know, sorry for the delay. They just handled it really well. You're right. And the kitchen, too. Gordon would tell them something, and they'd be like, okay, and then they would do it.
Yep.
So I think that this restaurant has a chance of really making a change and sticking with it. I think that they have all the tools there. I hope. We'll get to that with our special segment, but I think our first special segment, and this one is always, you know, fun for me.
Here we go.
Because we say yes every single time, but for this restaurant, Mike, would you eat there?
I don't think I would. Oh, no! I didn't know that sound was coming. I don't think I would, and here's why. The kitchen skeezed me out. The after kitchen, excuse me out. I don't believe the cockroaches are gone. And it just still looked dirty to me. And it's one of those things you can't unsee. Besides that, this to me is a very specific type of food. This is soul food. I got into a little bit. This is feel good food. I did a quick search for best Southern soul food in Memphis. And I came up with restaurants with 400 reviews and average 4.5 stars. So there's no reason if this is what I'm going to go to experience in Memphis. I mean, it's Memphis, guys. Right. Come on. We're in the heart of it. There's really no reason to go there when it seems like there's a lot better options, at least right now. I think just like you said, they could turn it around. But that's how I feel at the moment after watching that.
I am unfortunately with you on this one. I almost always say that I will go eat there, almost always, because I'm like sure I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for the cockroaches, I actually might have. But those, I agree. I don't think they're gone in 24 hours. There were so many. And then also just the shoveling of the stuff under the fryers. This might possibly have been, I don't know if it was the worst, but it was definitely one of the worst.
I've never seen gunk. That, what was it? Half a foot thick?
It was
deep.
Literally with a shovel.
It
they
was
weren't
deep.
Joking.
Multiple
they were,
shovels.
Yes.
And people are going to say, you know, that's at other restaurants. You're absolutely right.
It,
but it's totally an out of sight, out of mind thing. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And
Well, and also I was talking to you about this before. I give restaurants a bit of a pass with Yelp. I will read through the reviews mm-hmm. a lot of the times to just make sure that it's not just stuck up people being like, meh, about stuff. But a lot of the times I won't eat at a restaurant if it has a 3.5 star rating. I'm mm-hmm. like, I probably won't go there. Yeah.
You definitely have to read the reviews because some people on Yelp say things like, man, it was $15 for this. Well, you can look at the prices.
Well, yeah.
You don't have to eat there. You know how much you're going to pay. What are you talking about?
Or when they're like, I had to wait an hour for a table. And I'm like, okay.
There was no tuna fish on the menu.
What?
You could look at the menu.
No, I agree. I always look through the no, you're so right, because some people are just, they're so, it's hilarious,
sure.
some of the reviews. But for the most part, if there's a lot of reviews being like, you know what, the food wasn't great, mm-hmm. I even will sometimes give a pass on service. If they're like, the food is good, but the service was bad, I still might try it just because.
There's some of those restaurants, you know, there's those restaurants where terrible service is like their kitsch, their thing.
Oh, I've been wanting to waitresses. Work at those forever because it just seems so fun.
You're too nice.
You think I'm too nice?
Yep. You would not make it.
You know what's really
all
funny?
All the other waitresses would hate you.
You know what's really funny? My husband told me the same thing. He's like, you think you would like it for like a day and then you'd feel bad.
You try to be mean totally and then real quick you'd be like, I'm sorry. I'll bring you extra french fries.
I would. I'm the worst. I give people.
And then you get no tip because the diners want someone to be mean to them. That's what they're going for.
Oh, but I still think it's really fun. I've seen those videos. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that takes us to our next segment. Ties us right into the Yelp segment.
Yeah.
Nice. Now we get to see how these guys are doing now. So we see some previous reviews, some of the newer reviews. Mike, what does their Yelp look like
these
days?
This was tough. Yeah, this was tough. So right now, Catfish Cabin over there in Memphis is sitting at 58 reviews, 3.5 stars. However, most of the restaurants that we look at on this show, it's very easy to see based on the reviews when Gordon's change came into effect. I really couldn't tell with this one. And what's interesting about this is the last three reviews from December 2018 to October are 5 stars.
Okay.
And then before that, as we go back in time, 1 star, 2 stars, so very low. So perhaps that's just the delineation. No one said anything that Gordon had come in. Usually they make a comment that mm-hmm. the show had been in. So if we want to take one of these 5 stars, great service and value, the amount of food, which I saw many reviews saying lots of food on the plate is massive. When you sit down, you get a big basket of hush puppies. Everybody seems to love the hush puppies, so that's great. I really enjoyed the food and atmosphere. However, the bad reviews are really bad.
Oh, no.
One word to describe this place is nasty. The building has never been updated. No one pays attention to you. And 1 star is too much. How can you charge so much for food when you can't spend $10 on a can of Raid? So again, obviously, ooh, they saw some bugs, issues there. What I really thought was interesting was from this other 1 star review, the location in Jackson, Tennessee is much better.
Oh.
So have you experienced it? And I know we're running out of time here, but an owner who owns multiple locations, is it common for them to almost neglect one if another is doing really well?
You know, I haven't worked at, actually, that's not true. I did work at this one Chinese restaurant where there were a few of them mm-hmm. and some locations just had terrible reviews over others. And I don't know if it was just lack of management or if the higher management never went to go check on that restaurant. As it stands, the one that I work at, there's a bunch and we have one manager that oversees kind of everything. So he's right. constantly in each restaurant sort of quality control and making
that'll
sure everything.
Consistency.
Yeah. So you need that. But I think maybe if you just let them run as their own separate restaurants,
right.
then it can be easy if you're not going there to check on the other one and you just have a bad management.
You know,
then
to be fair, I looked up the other one on Yelp as well. And the reviews there aren't stellar either. They're at, I think, 37 reviews, 3.5 stars. So it's relatively similar. At the end of the day, even after Gordon's, I just think there's a lot better options in Memphis.
Which is really sad for these guys. I hope that if they don't make it, I like the staff in this episode a lot, that they all get to move on to something better. They can go work at some of those other restaurants because they clearly are doing very
well.
They
know the food. Boom.
They know
there
the
you
food.
Go.
Yeah. They have other jobs. So that concludes.
Tough one.
I
tough
know,
one. As Gordon say, Gordon would say, tough one.
This is the only tough one I've ever said I wouldn't eat at, which is crazy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Catfish Cabin. But I'm super excited for next week because
maybe they were going to be the restaurant to actually invite us there to do a follow-up after show.
Oh,
and
my
now they're
gosh.
Like, forget it.
Do you guys don't want to eat here? Fine. Don't come eat here. And then I would feel terrible because that's me not being able to be mean.
It's okay.
But we're super excited for next week. It looked like there was another restaurant in Connecticut I love these little small town ones because mm-hmm. it's just hilarious to see the dynamics there. So that's going to be really, really, really fun. Until then, because we have one more week to wait before we get to see Gordon yell at more people, where can the fans find you to keep
Guys,
up with conversations?
I'm Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_Land. It's XIA_Land. And you can also find me on Facebook at Zia Landerson. Also, in just a couple of hours here, we are starting the Punisher After Show. So if you're around at 10 p.m., we're going to be going over episodes 1, 2, and 3, which I'm super excited
awesome.
About. So if you have the time, stay tuned for that. Until then, thank you all so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Go clean yourselves!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.